Revelation chapter 8 in your Bibles. Revelation chapter 8 in your outline, folks. This will be on page 66 as we begin our thoughts this morning in Revelation chapter number 8 and verse number 1. We'll continue on our thoughts here. We're going to see the opening of the seventh seal. Remember where we're at in our study of the book of Revelation. The tribulation period has started. We've seen the first six seals. We saw in chapter 7, we saw a section where time paused and God filled in some very important and some very interesting events that are taking place during this future period of time. When we get to chapter 8, time is going to start again. Remember, as the judgments, the three sets of judgments, as they are revealed, time is moving in the tribulation period, and we'll resume the movement of time this morning as we look at chapter 8. The Bible says in verse number 1, I want to read the first five verses and then we'll begin our thoughts. We'll read again as we get to them. We'll read the other portions as we get there. The Bible says, "And when it opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour." Now remember, it's the Lord Jesus Christ that's opening the seals, folks. When the Bible says when He had opened the seventh seal, it's referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, He's the one we saw back in chapters 4 and 5. He took the seven sealed book or scroll out of the hand of the Father that was sitting on the throne. A universe-wide search took place, and the one that was found worthy to do this was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ now opens that seventh seal. The Bible says in verse 2, "And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake." As you look at verse number 1, the Bible says there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Now, folks, this verse emphasizes the solemnity and the seriousness of the situation. 30 minutes of pleasure is something that's very fleeting. If you're trying to get something done in 30 minutes' time, Brother Charlie, the rain's coming, you're trying to get the last of that felt on the decking on that roof or whatever it may be, 30 minutes is just not much time to get the job done. But I tell you what, folks, 30 minutes of intense, dark anticipation would be nerve-wracking. Here, all the events that have been unfolding in heaven, John is in heaven. Remember, all of this is being played out before the eyes of the Apostle John. He's been caught up into heaven, whether physically or just in the spirit, whatever way you want to see that. John is actually witnessing this. He's seen all these events taking place and all the wondrous things in heaven. And now we come to a period of time where for 30 minutes, there's not a sound, folks. There's no speaking. There's no activity. Nothing's going on. It's a time of solemnity and seriousness as God is putting emphasis on what is about to take place on the earth. In verse number 2, it introduces the seven trumpet angels. And I want to say some things about this matter of the trumpets. Now remember, the judgment of the seventh seal is the introduction of the next set of judgments, which is the trumpet judgments. We had the first six seal judgments. When we get to the seventh seal, when that seal is opened, the judgment of that seal is the trumpets that are going to issue forth from that seventh seal. So we've had this matter of trumpets that are introduced here and the seven angels that are going to sound these judgments. Again, this matter of angels is a prominent thought in the book of the Revelation. There are literally scores of angels that are specifically mentioned as doing specific things throughout this judgment period that's going to take place. And here again, angels are brought before us. Trumpets, more than any other wind instrument, were used in the national life of the nation of Israel. Their use is outlined, and folks, as I've done, made my habit, because our study is taking so long, I would love to stop and read all of the references that I put down here, but one of the reasons I put them in the notes is so that I don't have to, so you'll have it before, you'll have the reference before you. You can go back and read that on your own later on, and I don't have to take the time in here to do that. But if you were to look back in Numbers chapter 10, verses 1 through 10, the Bible outlines the use of trumpets in the life of the nation of Israel. The two reasons that trumpets were used, the two primary reasons that trumpets were used, were a trumpet was sounded for a time of assembly. When it was time for the people to assemble together, there would be the sound of the trumpet. And also trumpets were used for a sound of alarm, or a proclamation that war was about to take place. Now, the trumpet judgments, before we get to those, the trumpet judgments are to arouse Israel that the false covenant with Antichrist is not secure, and that they're about to be involved nationally in the judgments that are taking place on the earth. Now, folks, I want you to understand what I'm getting at here. God is bringing before us the trumpet judgments. I believe that in the mind of God, there's something real going on here that He wants us to see. The use of the trumpets is bringing before us the nation of Israel. The trumpet was an instrument that was used prominently in the life of the nation of Israel. And as these trumpet judgments begin to sound, God is saying to Israel, listen, you better look up, you better get ready, because you're about to be involved. Remember, we saw the first six seals and all of the destruction and all the things that have gone on. In just the first four seals, we saw 1/4 of the world's population killed, between 1 and 2 billion people. And yet the nation of Israel has been relatively untouched by those judgments. Remember, the nation of Israel is living under the security of a covenant with the Antichrist, and the nation of Israel has not been involved directly in the judgments that are going on the earth. That's all going to change. And God is saying to Israel through these trumpet judgments, you had better get ready, you had better watch out, because you're about to lose the security that you think that you have with the covenant that you signed with the Antichrist. Again, the phrase third part in verses 7 through 12, when we get there, we'll look at that. The phrase third part is also a phrase that references the nation of Israel. We know this from Old Testament passages such as Ezekiel chapter 5 and verse 12 and Zechariah chapter 13 and verse number 9. Now notice where I'm going here, folks. I'm trying to get you to see something. God in these first five verses is using several things to show us, but more importantly to show the nation of Israel, that they're about to be involved in this tribulation period on the earth. He uses trumpets, and that references Israel. He uses the phrase third part, and that very phrase, a third part, references the nation of Israel. There's going to be some other things, and we'll look at those as we continue to move on. It's also interesting to note when we get there to the similarities between the trumpet judgments and the plagues of Egypt, and this is in your notes on page 66. Hell and fire in verse number 7 takes our mind back to Exodus chapter 9, verses 18 through 26. Water and blood in verse number 8 takes our minds back to Exodus chapter 7 and verse 19. Darkness in verse number 12 of this chapter takes our mind back to Exodus chapter 10 and verse 21. The locust in chapter 9 and verse 3 will take our mind back to Exodus Exodus chapter 10 and verse 12, and the plagues of Egypt, there's a lot of similarities between those plagues and the plagues that are in the trumpet judgments. You know what the greatest difference is? In Egypt, the plagues were to save Israel. In the tribulation period, these plagues are to arouse Israel and to show them, to trouble Israel out of that feeling of security that she has with that covenant that has been signed with the Antichrist. In verses 3 through 5, here's another scene that is an indication that Israel is in the mind of God. All that you have in verses 3, 4, and 5 is Jewish related. This whole passage, verses 3, 4, and 5, takes our mind back to the Old Testament and to the temple and the altar and all that was involved in the Jewish system of worship. In chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, the martyrs were told, remember, they prayed how long? And God told them, He said, listen, He said, you rest for a while until your brethren are killed as you are. But after a while, I'm going to hear and I'm going to answer your prayer for vindication. Folks, God's about to answer that prayer wholeheartedly now when the trumpets begin to sound. In verse number 3, you have the incense. And another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Incense in Revelation chapter 5, verse 8, we've already looked at it. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 8, the prayers are the incense. In this passage of Scripture, it's different though, folks. In this passage of Scripture, the incense is separate from the prayers, and the incense is added to the prayers of the people of God. A difference is taking place here. Something different is being brought before us. The point of emphasis here is that the prayers of the saints are given efficacy. The word efficacy simply means the power to bring results. The prayers of the saints is going to be given the power to bring results by the incense being added to the prayers. Concerning prayers as incense, in your notes there's an equal sign after incense. I don't have a clue in the world why that's there, folks. If you just mark that out, I don't know who writes this stuff anyway, but you might want to see Philippians 4:18 and Genesis 8:21 and some other references there concerning prayers as incense. I want you to note that the angel does not provide the incense, but the incense is given to him by the Lord Jesus Christ. So here you have the prayers of the saints. The Lord Jesus Christ gives some incense to the angel. The angel comes and takes the incense and puts it with the prayers of the saints. And then in verse number 4, the Bible says that the prayers of the saints mixed with the incense come up before God. Folks, that whole terminology in verse number 4, ascended up before God, indicates acceptance of the prayers by God. The Bible says in verse number 4, and the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. In other words, God is hearing the prayers. God's going to answer the prayers. Now notice verse 5. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. Now I want you to notice the last part of verse number 5. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. There's a frightful scene on the earth before the trumpets even begin to sound. Folks, we've stated previously, we'll state it again as we go along. Severity is going to increase as we go through the tribulation period. The seal judgments took place and the conditions of those seals are still going on. There's war on the earth. There's death and devastation everywhere. The earth has been the total earth in its entirety has been wrecked and moved by the great earthquake of the sixth seal. The sun has been darkened and at night it gave the appearance of blood as the moon shone through the volcanic ash that is spewed up into the atmosphere. The earth is a dark and a frightful place. The seventh seal is broken, and out of the seventh seal is coming forth the seven trumpet judgments. And just before those trumpets begin, the Bible says the angel takes a censer and fills it with fire and casts it into the earth. And folks, listen, everybody on earth, I want you to think, can you do it in your mind? I want you to think about this. On earth, in light of all the devastation, all the supernatural things that have already taken place, they begin to hear voices that are coming from heaven. And there's thunderings and lightnings and another earthquake. It's not one of the three great earthquakes in the book of Revelation. We saw the first one in the sixth seal. We'll see two more great earthquakes. But this is one of a number of just earthquakes that are mentioned. God is announcing to the earth. All the people on earth know something's going on, folks. They hear. You see, what I want you to understand about verse number 5, the people on earth, they hear the voices, and they hear the thunder, and they see the lightnings, and they feel the earthquake. They know that something is about to take place again because there begins to be rumblings in heaven. And the people on earth are alerted that God is about to do something else on the earth. Verse number 6 and 7. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Folks, the first thought I'd like to throw out here is that I see verse number 7, I see all the judgments of all the trumpets as being absolutely literal. I see it as being literal. You say, Brother Kirkpatrick, then you see in the first trumpet, you see that there was actual hail and fire mingled with blood, and the third part of the trees was burned up and all the green grass was burned up. That's exactly what I see, folks. I see it just exactly as it's written here. The Bible says that these things were cast into the earth. That phrase, were cast, implies irresistible power that's behind the judgment. These judgments can't be stopped. They cannot be resisted. Their effects cannot be lessened by anything that man does. The first angel sounds, and as the first angel sounds, there's fire and hail mingled with blood. Now, I want you to note, there is no word associated with blood in the first judgment that would denote symbolism. It doesn't say it was hell and fire mingled as it were with blood. It says there was hail and fire mingled with blood that were cast into the earth. When these things came down, the hail and the fire and the blood, it destroys a third part of the trees. Why a third part? Well, it's in line with what we've already said. The third part is, again, warning Israel We're going to see the third part through all these trumpets. The trumpets themselves, the name, trumpets, and the third part and all that's associated is God warning Israel. God is doing two things. He's judging Gentile nations and He's warning the nation of Israel all at the same time with these judgments. The first trumpet sounds. The major purpose of this judgment is not the taking of life, but rather to affect the conditions of earth and the conditions of individual lives. With that being said, I believe it would be truly miraculous if no one was killed. Folks, the Bible doesn't say that people are killed in this judgment, but I believe that it's inevitable that people are killed in this judgment. You can take that and think on it and come to your own conclusions. Verse number 8, "And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed." Now the Bible says, as it were a great mountain. The second trumpet sounds. As it were a great mountain burning with fire. The words "as it were" are words that introduce or denote symbolism. So the Bible is not saying here that it was a great mountain. What was it? I don't know what it was, folks. Maybe it was some sort of a heavenly mass. Whatever it was, as John saw it, it looked like a great mountain burning with fire. And because he needed to describe it, because God so ordained it, he said, as it were. To me it looked like, he said, to me it looked like a great mountain of fire. As it were a great mountain of fire. It was a great burning mass, whatever it was. The Bible says it was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood, because a third part of the creatures that were in the sea and had life died, and a third part of the ships were destroyed. Now, the Bible doesn't say that a third part of the sea became as blood. There's not any symbolism there. It became blood. Some Bible commentators say, well, you know, maybe the reason that it became blood is because of all the death that takes place. A third part of the creatures in the sea died, and a third part of the ships were destroyed, and the blood that's associated with all that destruction of life caused the sea to become blood. I don't know about that. It sounds pretty good. It's a pretty good thought there. But it seems to me like that all that would do is be blood mixed with water. But the Bible says that it became blood. Now, we're going to get to some other portions of Scripture when the Bible talks about it, and it became as the blood of a dead man. In that other place, when we get to it, it doesn't say it became the blood of a dead man. It became as the blood of a dead man. There's not any words introducing symbolism here. In the second trumpet judgment, a third part of the sea becomes blood, and a third part of the creatures die. Now notice what's happening. God is affecting the conditions of life. God is affecting the financial institutions of the world here. He's shaking it up. He's rattling the foundations here. God is getting the attention of people worldwide in general, and the nation of Israel in particular. Verses 10 and 11. "And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter." This is a literal star that affects the freshwater sources of the earth. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 20, we saw that stars can refer to human beings. We believe that the stars there is referring to the pastors of the churches. In Revelation chapter 9 and verse 1, we haven't got there yet. In Revelation chapter 9 and verse 1, we'll see that a star can refer to an angelic being. But here in the third trumpet, a star means a literal star. The word wormwood, means bitterness. You see that from Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 14 and 15, and Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 15. I believe that in this judgment, a literal star falls from heaven. This star comes to the earth. It falls upon the third part of the waters, the third part of the rivers, and upon the fountains of water. That's talking about fresh water, sources of water. And they become wormwood, or they become bitter, and many men die from drinking the poisonous water that results from the third trumpet judgment. Verse number 12. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars. So as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound. The fourth trumpet judgment affects the sources of light and heat. If you were to turn back in your Bibles, we'll not do that right now, to Isaiah chapter 13, verses 9 through 11. It relates there in Isaiah chapter 13. It relates to this exact period of time and this exact event that's taking place. Allow your mind to see the scene on earth at this time. The conditions of the seals are still in effect, and the conditions of the trumpets are being added. Think about lost men now. Think about lost men on earth. News cameras are rolling nonstop. Scientists and politicians are trying desperately to find naturalistic and humanistic explanations for the catastrophes that are taking place, and they're trying to come up with emergency remedies for their effects. Yet before their theories are even complete and communicated to the world, another supernatural act takes place as another trumpet sounds. Folks, as the trumpets begin to sound, I can see the people of the earth. They're coming on TV. They're coming on radio. You log on your computer, and they're trying to explain what's going on. Oh, there's a reasonable explanation, they say, to all this that's taking place. There's a reasonable explanation, and one authority after another, and one politician after another, he gets up there and he gets before the people and he's trying to explain it all away and tell you how exactly, naturally speaking, it has all happened and what they're going to do to fix it. But you know what the problem is? Before he even gets it all out of their mouth, God is sounding another trumpet judgment, another supernatural act takes place. They're still trying to figure out, they're still trying to explain away all those voices that the world heard from heaven, and the thunderings and the lightnings and the earthquake. And before they can explain it, God sounds another trumpet judgment upon the earth. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself spoke of these very things in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 11. Also in verses 25 and 26 of Luke chapter number 2. The intensity of the judgments is about to increase. The angel introduces the last three trumpets as the woe judgments. Look at the last part of the verse. And I beheld and heard an angel flying in the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Now, folks, I believe the people on earth hear this angel. I believe the world hears this angel that's flying in heaven proclaiming, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the other voices of the trumpets of the three angels which are yet to sound. As horrible as it's been so far, folks, it's going to get worse. Everything has become more severe as we've gone through. We started in the first four seals with relatively human means of destruction, if you will, if you'll allow me for just a moment. You see, in my mind, as I look at the entire tribulation period, the greatest loss of human life in the tribulation that is attributed to human means, if you will, is in the first four seals. We saw warfare and famine and all that goes with that. All that, of course, is being controlled by Almighty God, in particular the Lord Jesus Christ. But after the first four seals, it becomes almost wholly supernatural now. We saw the fifth seal and the sixth seal, and then we saw the opening of the seventh seal, and from the seventh seal comes the seven trumpets, and the trumpets are completely and wholly supernatural in nature, and all the loss of human life is being directed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Judgment has came, folks. The Lord Jesus Christ is no longer the meek lamb on Calvary's cross. The Lord Jesus Christ is no longer holding back the wrath of God Almighty as He does in this present moment. The Lord Jesus Christ is directing it all, and the wrath of God is being poured out on lost men on the earth. The judgment of Almighty God has come upon the earth. Through it all, through all that we're mentioning here, God's still saving souls. He's got two special witnesses that are witnessing. He's got 144,000 Jewish men that have been sealed and they're preaching the gospel. He's even going to send an angel in heaven to preach the everlasting gospel, and all the people on earth will hear the angel flying back and forth, the Bible says. Back and forth the angel flies proclaiming the everlasting gospel. In the midst of judgment, God is remembering mercy. Folks, it's gotten so bad on earth now. Already the earth is a dark and a frightful place. Even the animals have turned savage. They're being controlled by demon spirits. And the poisonous spider that would have lurked in the darkness will now run out and try to grab somebody to bite them. The poison snake will chase his human victim in an effort to inject his deadly venom. Folks, as bad as it's gotten already, it's about to get worse. The first four trumpets sound, and then the angel comes into heaven. And the angel proclaims the last three trumpet judgments are going to be the woe judgments. Woe, woe, woe to those that dwell upon the earth. The fifth trumpet will be the first woe, and the sixth trumpet will be the second woe, and the seventh trumpet will be the third woe, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse. We hadn't got to the middle of the tribulation yet. The fifth trumpet and the sixth trumpet have some time spans associated with them. The fifth trumpet has 5 months associated with it. The sixth trumpet has a year and a month and a week and a day associated with it. Because I believe that the sixth trumpet takes us to the middle of the tribulation period. at this point in time now, we're about to sound the fifth trumpet in chapter 9. I would now start at the middle of the tribulation and I would count back. And I would add that year and a month and a week and a day. And to that I would add 5 months. And you know what I'd come up with? I would come up with the fact that right now, in the fourth trumpet, we're about at the end of the second year of the tribulation period. The fifth trumpet and the sixth trumpet will take us through to the middle of the tribulation period. The sixth trumpet will end at the middle of the tribulation period. So when the fourth trumpet that we just looked at, when it sounds, we're at about the end of year 2 of the tribulation period. A lot of things are still going to happen. Oh, that men and women, boys and girls, would trust Jesus Christ as their Savior and avoid the wrath to come. As a child of God, I'm so thankful that I will not be here to witness all that'll go on the earth in that time.